Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstances right now, God loves you, and you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. Let's jump in.
Well, good morning. My name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here. And something we say pretty often is that we don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take God seriously. So sit back, relax, laugh a little, okay? There won't be any weird stuff, I promise. And we won't break the church this morning. A Will Smith video is as weird as it'll get around here. So you are definitely in good company today. Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan. So shout out to everyone listening in via podcast online. And whether you're in-house this morning or you are online, I want you to know that you chose a great weekend to be with us here at Center Church because it's our final installment of our current series, Flossom. And it's all about how an awesome God uses flawed people. And I don't know about you, but I mess up from time to time, right? And my flawedness, it has a way of creeping up into my life more often than I'd actually like it to. The moments that don't make it onto my Instagram feed, the times that don't make it onto the highlights reels of my Facebook page, the things that I struggle with that I'm not too proud of, and it's called being flawed. But the great truth is that even though we are flawed at times, that God can actually take these bad things in our lives and use them for our good. So today I'm going to speak on the subject, your tomorrow can change today. Your tomorrow can change today. And before I get into the meat and potatoes of today's talk, I want to start us off with a change in perspective, okay? That I believe if we grasp early on this morning, that it will actually revolutionize how you view God, and it'll give us a more clear understanding of what God wants to do in our lives. And it's this: God loves me in the middle of my mess. He loves me too much to leave me there, so he calls me up. Let me say that one more time. God loves me in the middle of my mess. He loves me too much to leave me there, so he calls me up. God loves you despite your flaws. God loves you despite your mess-ups, and he loves you so much that he actually wants you to win. He calls you up, he calls you out of all the hates and all the addiction and the things that we struggle with. God calls you up and out of those things. He actually challenges us in a way that can change the direction of our tomorrow. And this challenge goes against our natural tendencies. It goes against our natural knee-jerk reactions to things in life. God calls us up. So how can tomorrow change today? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to look at the life of David. Maybe you've been going to church for a long time. You know who David is. But maybe for some of us, this is your first church experience. You have no clue who David is, and that's okay. I'm going to give us some a backdrop of who David was. So as a boy, he had killed this Philistine giant named Goliath. He had a sling, 5 smooth stones. The Bible says that he slayed or killed this Philistine giant named Goliath. He also killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. He was anointed of king over all of Israel. He was a soldier who won many battles. David is known for a lot of the great things that he did. But what people often forget is that David had some flaws. He was a flawed person just like you and me. If you didn't know, he committed adultery by stealing someone else's wife. And then he had that guy killed in battle. This guy's name was Uriah. David straight up snatched up Uriah's wife and then sent Uriah to the heat of the battle, the fierce part of the battle, and Uriah ended up dying. Uriah was actually one of David's most best soldiers at the time. Then David tries covering it up, and he tries to take the heat off of himself. David had some real flaws. He was a real guy with real struggles. Can I get a witness up in here, right? Hallelujah! He was a real guy, real struggles. And later on in David's life, there's this passing of the baton transition with his son Solomon. Solomon ends up being king. He builds this temple, and it happens in the book of Chronicles, and we're going to read that this morning. And as I was looking at this story, I see this legacy-building moment for David as he challenges his son Solomon, basically saying, I've done a lot of good in my life, but I've also fumbled the ball at times. I have some flaws, some flawed moments. And through my flaws, I found that my best effort to build this amazing life on my own, it doesn't work because I fumble, I mess up, and I do it more often than I'd actually like to. You try your best to be a good parent, but maybe this week you said some things to your kid that you wish you can take back. And you know, when we cast it out there, sometimes it's really hard to reel back in. We mess up. You're desperately trying to make a relationship work, okay, or a marriage, but you just keep dropping the ball in certain areas of your life that are huge hang-ups for you. I'm at my 6-month mark of being a married man, okay? Yeah. Woo-hoo for that. Have you ever heard of the freshman 15? I'm like at freshman 40 right now, okay? It's all part of it. I've heard. You know, something that I've learned about myself early on this, 6 months of being married to my wife is how selfish I actually am. Man, I fumble. Me too. And I do that from time to time. Maybe you're just trying to be happy or you are just trying to be a good person, but there are old habits in our lives that just creeping back into our lives. No matter how much you try, it's just never enough and we're flawed. And David knew exactly how that felt. So he challenges Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 8 to 10. It's on the screens and it'll be in your notes this morning. Let me read it for you. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, observe and seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing spirit. For the Lord searches every heart and understands the intent of every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will abandon you forever. See now that the Lord chose you to build the house for his sanctuary. Be strong and do it. So how can tomorrow change today? If you're taking notes this morning, go ahead and write this down. Know God. Know God. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9, we just read it a while ago. It says this, as for you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your fathers. Circle know. Know the God of your fathers. To know God in a way that can revolutionize the direction of your tomorrow, there has to be a change in perspective, a change of thinking that goes, a God is a task on my to-do list. To God is someone I have a relationship with every single day. It's taking God outside of this box that I hold onto on Sundays when I do my church thing. You know, I'm here at church. You know, God pops out of the box, just like a jack-in-the-box. And then when it's over, I put him back in there. And then from time to time, I go back to this little God box that I have when things get really bad, when I'm struggling, and I just need an exit strategy, when my marriage is failing. Man, God, help me. I need to take you outside the box. Maybe my kids are, they're acting in a way that I just cannot control, and I take God out of my box. But for the most part, I keep him in there. Knowing God is going to take some intentionality on our part. How can I know God? How can I develop this relationship with him? Go and write this down. This is something we can practically walk out this week. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in his presence. There is no better way to get to know someone than spending time with them. I think that's something that we can all agree, we all kind of we understand, spending time with them. And I think it's safe to say that if you can recite someone's Starbucks order by heart, you probably spend a lot of time with that person, all right? Sometimes it feels like you have to have a degree in engineering just to order a coffee at Starbucks. It gets kind of complicated sometimes. Can I get a caramel macchiato upside down, turn sideways, two pumps of toddler tears, one pump of regret, and a dash of the Holy Spirit, please? And this is what I love about the Starbucks barista. They're so confident, like, you want cream with that? It doesn't matter what you ask them. You can ask them anything you want, and they'll give it to you. It gets kind of complicated. This is my wife's order, okay? A venti strawberry acai refresher with light ice, no strawberries. Say it one more time. A venti strawberry acai refresher with light ice, no strawberries. Notice I did not even budge. Like, I said that so confidently. I've ordered that drink thousands and thousands and thousands of times. I know that drink. I know that order very well because I know my wife, Brianna. I spend a lot of time with the prettiest girl in the room, okay? I know her. We do drills at home. I know this order very well. To know God, we have to spend time in his presence. That, you know, let's be practical. That doesn't mean I'm gonna, you know, sit cross-legged and then, hum for 5 hours meditating, okay? Let's be practical here. That might be taking 10 to 15 minutes out of your day and stopping and saying, God, I need you today. I need you in my marriage. I need you with how I raise my kids. I need you today. That's what that might look like for you this week. James 4:8, it says this. I love this verse. Come close to the one true God, and he will draw close to you. Wash your hands. You have dirtied them in sin. Cleanse your heart because your mind is split down the middle. Come close to the one true God. He wants to draw close to you, spending time in his presence. Here's another one. Go ahead and write this down. Be open to what he has to say. It's the listening part. Be open to what he has to say. Psalms 32, verses 8 and 9. This is what it says. It says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like the senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. I love that word picture there, the word picture that shows how a horse or a mule, it has a bridle on its mouth, and the master, he takes the reins and forces the animal into subjection wherever he wants it to go. And the Bible actually says, don't be like that because I'm not like that. I don't force you. I don't do that to you. And what's awesome about God is he doesn't control us like we're little robots. He actually gives us a choice. The Bible says he guides you, he advises you, and watches over you. But lots of times we have a listening problem. Lots of times God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a listening problem. Spending time in his presence, being open to what God has to say. Number two, go ahead and write this down. Let God call the shots. Let God call the shots in our lives. Romans 12:2. This is the message version. This is what it says. Don't become well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Underline that. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. That's what living a life surrendered to God looks like. I spend time in his presence. I'm open to what he has to say. And when he gives me the red flag, he gives me the warning, I'm like, okay, I hear you, God, and now I'm going to quickly respond to what you're saying to me. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down and to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Letting God call the shots in my life means surrendering my flaws to him. I can try as much as I can to modify my behavior. to make my relationships work, to be a good person or to be a great parent, but humanly speaking, I don't have enough in my personal gas tank to sustain me. And that's why Romans 12 says we have to be changed from the inside out, not the other way around. If you don't get anything else in this message, I hope you get this. This is one, this is so important. It's a lot less doing and a whole lot of surrender. It's a lot less doing, trying to make things work, and just a whole lot more surrender to God. It's the game changer. It's when we take the posture of, God, I give my flaws to you. I'm going to let you call the shots in my life, and that's going to take a shift in my perspective from I'm trying to make it all work, I'm trying to gain your favor, to I can live in freedom because I am grateful for the forgiveness that comes from knowing who God is. A whole lot more surrender and a lot less doing. You know, I've asked myself a certain question many times, and it's the question, why do I do what I do? I ask myself that question when I'm tired, when I feel overwhelmed, because I need to remember my why. Why do I invest myself into trying to impact other people for God? Why do I spend hours of my time making plans so that your students can have a really rad event like a bonfire or a summer camp? Why do I stand in front of people like this and talk about God? And my answer is this simply, I do what I do because I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. That when I decided to let him call the shots in my life, he looked past all my flaws and he loved me anyway and he changed me from the inside out. And the best expression that I can come up with to thank God for what he's done in my life is to help somebody else find what I have because it's that good. That's how good it is to know God. And I'm so grateful for what God has done for me that, you know what, I want so many people to know what I have. You know, there's a verse, it's not in your notes, it's my life verse, and it's in Psalms. And it says that he took me up out of the mud, out of the mire, and he placed my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. And I'm just so grateful for what God has done for me that I can't do anything else but, God, my life is yours. It's like the everlasting five-star Yelp review, you know what I'm saying? Elite status. How can you actively walk that out today or this week? Going to write this down. Serve on a team. Serve on a team. There are some real opportunities for each and everyone here to get involved in the weekend and beyond experience on campus here or in our community. This summer, it's going to be the second year that our student ministry will be hosting our very own summer camp. You want to make a difference in a teen's life this summer? Man, come and make some s'mores and throw a football. That's all it takes. And take a lot. And I said nothing about abilities or all, you know, schooling and all this stuff. Just come and hang out. Join a team. Jump on a team. We'll take you. Because here we believe that we are made better when we help other people win. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9, it says this, "Know the God of your fathers, and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing spirit. For the Lord searches every heart and understands the intent of every thought." When I express my thanks to God by serving others, I should do this. I should hold nothing back. I'm going to write that down. I should hold nothing back. I'm going to serve without reservation. I'm going to, I want to get off the bench. I want to jump onto the court. I want to jump in the game. I'm all in. The focus is off of me, and it's set on helping somebody else win. And I'm all in. I'm going to hold nothing back. And second is this, serve with an eager attitude. Serve with an eager attitude. You're motivated. Man, you are willing and ready. In high school, believe it or not, I played varsity basketball, okay? I'm about 5'8". And I was one of the tallest on my team. We were 98% Filipino, man. And we were good in our dreams. But we were okay. But anyways, I played varsity basketball. And, you know, when I would when coach would take me off of the court and I would sit down, I would sit at the edge of my seat. And I would just stare at coach whenever he'd walk by, like, put me in. You need me. And I would just look at him, and he would just try to, like, you know, not glance in my direction. I wouldn't even be paying attention to the game. I'd be like, man, coach, put me in. I would be, like, lasering this hole in his, you know, in his neck because I wanted to go in so bad. I was so eager. I was motivated. I was willing. I was ready. And then he would put me, you know, he would turn around. Be like, Pastor, okay, go in. I would go in, and then we'd lose by 20. It's all good. It's all good. I was eager. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had that type of motivation to help somebody else win? When was the last time you had that type of motivation to serve someone else because you're thankful for what God did in your life? Romans 12:1, I love this verse. It says, "And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind that he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask?" When I think of what God has done for me, is that too much to ask? Another translation says, it's only reasonable. That when I think of what he's done for me, the reasonable thing for me to do is to surrender myself for God to use me. Serve with an eager attitude. Hold nothing back. One last one, and we're done this morning. It's this: rest on his promise. What? Rest? Relax? Yes. Rest on his promise. I'll let you know what that means. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, this is what it says. It says, "Then David said to Solomon, his son, 'Be strong and courageous and take action. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.'" When we rest on his promises, God puts the super to our natural, and the game-changing perspective becomes a lot more clear in the middle of our mess, and it's this: my strengths are limited, I fumble, but his grace is enough. God's grace is enough. 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says this: "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." Some of us need to underline that part today. My power works best in weakness. See how opposite that is of our, you know, our social culture? We want to be this. We want to be the best. But God says that, you know, my power works best when you're weak. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. He's saying, I know you fumble. I know you have flaws. I know you're imperfect. I know you get weak sometimes, and that's totally okay because my power actually works best when you're weak. So rest in me. I'm not going to leave you. I am here. I'm going to put the super to your natural. And knowing that, his spirit urges me to be courageous. His spirit urges me to be courageous. Can I encourage you today that no matter what you are experiencing in this life season, that God has not left you? I don't know, some of us, you're looking for a sign. God, give me a sign. This is your sign today that God has not left you. When you are at your weakest, that's when his power works best. His spirit urges us to be courageous. And as he works in and through my mess, his spirit urges me to action. There's a movement. There's something on my end. His spirit urges me to action. God loves me in the middle of my mess. He loves me too much to leave me there. So he calls me up. He calls me to live at a higher level. He calls me out of the things that are holding me back. The addiction, the things that I'm struggling with every day, how I treat my family, how I treat my wife, and he calls me out of the mud and onto solid ground, and that takes action on our part. How can I practically walk that out? Go ahead and write this down. This is the last one, and we're done today. Claim God's promises today. Claim God's promises today. Romans 8:11. It says this, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that lives in you." And what that means for you is that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is available to you to bring back to life the areas of your story that seem like they're just in the grave. Another verse in the same chapter says this, that overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. Walk out this week confidently knowing that God has already promised you overwhelming victory. His power works best when you're weak. Rest on that promise. Can I pray for us today? God, thank you so much for this group this morning that is gathered here. And God, maybe we walked in today with some huge hang-ups, a lot of fumbles this week, a lot of things we said or did that we cannot reel back in. And God, today, I know that the challenge was to let you call the shots in our life, whatever that looks like. So this morning, as everybody's heads bowed, everyone's eyes are closed, I'm not going to embarrass you. This is the time in the service that you will have the opportunity to respond to what you've heard today. And if you're just saying, you know what, Josh, I need some super on my natural. I've been trying so hard to be a good parent. I've been trying so hard to be a good husband or wife. I'm trying to make it work with the kids. I am overwhelmed. And I just need some super to my natural. And because of those things, I'm holding things back from God. If that is you, if you can agree with that prayer, and you want me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you here in a second. If that's you today, if you can agree with that prayer, with no one looking around, go ahead and lift your hand up and let me pray for you. If that's you, yes, I see your hand. I see your hand all over this place, in the front, in the back. I see you. I see you. Praise God. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. For those who have decided that they're going to let you call the shots in their life, that they need the super on their natural, that with the things that, the mess that they're in, Lord, I pray that you would let them know and understand how much you love them, that you love them too much to leave them there, that you're calling them up and out of those things. And I pray for those things, God, in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person, or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity. Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.